I'm going to be reading from Mark 4, 26 through 34 this morning. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables he spoke the word to them, and as they were able to hear it, he did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The treasures of little things. He's talking about seeds, those little things that grow into the harvest, grow into the big bush. And we're going to talk about planting seeds this morning. There's a father who talks about taking his young son, Joshua, a little four-year-old son, out to McDonald's for dinner. They were having kind of a little guys out kind of thing. As they were sitting there eating their hamburgers, though, Josh was noticing the sesame seeds on the hamburger bun. He says, "Daddy, what are these little things on the hamburger buns?" His dad explained that they were tiny seeds and that it was okay to eat them. But then Josh got real quiet, and his dad could see the wheels turning. Josh was really deep in thought about something. Finally, he said, "Dad, if we go home and plant these seeds in our backyard, will we have enough hamburgers to last forever?" Little kids, you got to really enjoy them. They come up with some funny little things, but they're just honest and they say what they think. Planting little seeds, even though we're not going to get hamburgers out of them, planting little seeds can make for a bountiful harvest. And Jesus was often comparing the kingdom of God to seeds sown in the ground. And he talks about how the farmer plants those seeds. And if you'll notice, he's not talking about him plowing up the field and making furrows and planting seeds and all that. He is scattering seeds on the ground. And then he's trusting in God to provide the harvest. And Jesus uses that example to kind of show us that we can plant seeds, not for harvest and plants and foods and things, but for harvest of people. We can plant little seeds in people's hearts and minds, and even though it may not sprout immediately, it may not sprout weeks from now or months from now or even years from now, those little seeds that we plant as Christians have tremendous impact on people. And so we think about these parables and the planting of seeds, and then we think about the mustard seed. And I'm wearing my mustard seed today. If you've ever wondered how small a mustard seed is, it is pretty tiny. But it grows up into a pretty good size bush. And Jesus tells us that the farmer doesn't really do anything other than scatter the seed. He's not out there hoeing the weeds and all those kinds of things. He plants the seed and then he relies on God to provide the harvest. In the Greek translation, scholars will tell us that what they're really talking about there is without visible cause or without human agency. In other words, humans don't touch it or have anything to do with it after the seed is planted. And you note that the kingdom of God is coming with or without our help. Hitler couldn't stop it. Communism couldn't stop it. And ISIS today cannot stop Christianity, cannot stop the kingdom of God from coming. And even though we may not notice it, there are things happening in our world that God is doing to make that happen. And even though he talks about the farmer doesn't really understand how the seeds grow, even today, we really do not know how those seeds grow. Well, we kind of have an idea. We can watch it grow and theorize and all those things. Scientists have even tried to create synthetic seeds, but that doesn't work. This is a mystery of God. Seeds grow because God makes them grow. And it is our task to plant those seeds. And that's what makes God's kingdom grow. We plant seeds when we do a kind act for somebody, or we tell somebody about Christ, about our loving church. We plant seeds. We put thoughts in their minds, and they start thinking about things. And again, even if it doesn't take right away, that thought is still up there. And perhaps something will happen in their life, and they'll think back to that seed that you planted and think, oh, I need to go seek Christ. I need to go and attend that loving church. God is at work always in the background. We plant the seed and he makes it happen. One of the problems that we have, though, as human beings is lack of patience. When we plant something or start something, we want to see results, especially in today's society when we want instant gratification. Doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time for seeds to sprout. We have to just rely on the fact that God is making that happen even though we don't see it. There's a gardener who talks about counting seed pods on this medium-sized mustard plant. He counted that there was about 85, and he estimated that there's about 8 seeds on average in each one of those pods. And he figured, well, 2 crops a year when they matured, and that he could do that in February and then mid-October. It came out to about 462,000 seeds, all from that one original plant. What's amazing about that, though, is that's really not that many compared to other species of plants. Other plants far exceed that number of seeds. Nature is extremely bountiful if we just notice God's world around us. And the kingdom of God is like that. We may not see it. It may be hidden from humanity, but that doesn't mean it's not at work. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not real. There's a man named John Buchima who uses the analogy of a century plant. The century plant is native to the desert. It is called the century plant because it is a very slow-growing plant. It can go for decades and not show any signs of growth. And then, all of a sudden, this little scrubby, ugly little bush might one day suddenly start growing. It'll grow a half a foot in a day, or it may reach 40 feet. And after it has reached full growth, the century plant produces flowers. Big, bright yellow blossoms that last for weeks at a time. It's a spectacular sight, but you have to have patience to see it. And that's how the kingdom of God is. You have to have patience. We may not see the signs of God's work, but suddenly, without warning, God does wondrous things. And we look with delight at the things that God has done. We've been talking about finding ways to grow God's kingdom through our church. And the meeting Thursday, the Vital Congregations meeting, is the district's going to try to help us with some suggestions, things that we can do. But the big thing here is planting seeds. If we plant seeds in the community, those seeds will grow. It may take a little time. We have to have patience. Those little things will grow into bigger things. The common black mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds sown in the fields of Palestine. It's like I mentioned, I've got my little flower mustard seed on. It takes 760 mustard seeds to weigh 1 gram. And if you want to know about how much a gram is, it takes 28 grams to equal 1 ounce. That's how small those seeds are. But those seeds will grow into a bush that can reach 12 to 15 feet in height. And like Jesus says, provides nesting places for birds and shade. That little tiny seed grows into a huge bush. And that's how the kingdom of God is. It grows into this huge kingdom from little seeds that we plant. And that parable kind of highlights how there's such an insignificant beginning, that little seed that we plant. And it can become something as simple as you're in the IGA parking lot and you see an elderly person struggling to load their groceries in the car, and you go over there and you help them. That's planting a seed. Or you see somebody that's depressed or troubled, and you walk up to that person and you start a conversation with them, and you mention Jesus, that Jesus loves all of us, that Jesus can help you with that problem. You're planting seeds, and that's what's important. We have to plant seeds. And there's a couple of things we can learn from those two parables. First of all, we learn that God works through those small, insignificant acts of life to build his kingdom. That's because one small act can lead to another, which can lead to another, and so on and so on. That's how it grows. That little seed you planted in that person starts to grow. They might tell a couple of other people about that experience, and they might tell a couple of other people, and so on and so on. It grows. But it starts with that little seed. If I were to ask you if you knew who Rick Rosamenti was, I'll bet you all of you were thinking, who? You probably never heard of him. Rick Rosamenti, who's a native of California, made the news a while back with a radical act of kindness. He gave one of his kidneys to a complete stranger. He felt compelled to do this. He gave a kidney to a complete stranger. And the person that received the kidney was in Livingston, New Jersey. And the neat thing about this is that started a chain reaction. The niece of the man who received Rick's kidney made a donation giving one of her kidneys to a stranger. And so on and so on and so on. In a short amount of time, 30 people received kidneys as a result of that one act of Rick Rosamenti. It became a chain reaction. It grew because of that one little act. They estimate there's about 67,000 people in the United States that die from kidney failure every year. There are 30 people because of that one little seed that won't die. And that may seem insignificant up against 67,000 people, but it is extremely important. These small acts of kindness that we do, these small things that we do for others, whether it's family, friends, or strangers, makes a difference. And the sad thing in our society today is you don't hear about the Rick Rosamentis. You know, you hear about the shooting over here, or a bomb exploding over here, or this terrible traffic accident. You hear about all these terrible things, and if you were an alien visiting our planet and you watched the news, you would think, my God, this is a terrible place. when in actuality it really isn't. Our world is actually more peaceful now than it was 20, 30 years ago. You wouldn't think it to watch the news, but it is. There is a young preacher who just got out of divinity school, seminary, and was assigned a small country church, a little conservative community, didn't have very many people. And he was one of these coming out of seminary that was really enthusiastic about wanting to do something for God. And they put him in this little tiny church. He says it was an awkward marriage at best because he had his PhD in theology. And he was full of ideas and ambitions, things he wanted to do to improve the parish and bring them into the 21st century. But often he doesn't understand the congregation and the congregation doesn't understand him. Later on, he begins to see what he couldn't see while he was striving to be this perfect pastor for the congregation. He noticed that in that little church, people in that congregation every week volunteered to exercise the legs of a little girl with cerebral palsy so that her muscles wouldn't grow weak. People helped one another put up hay before the rains came. When a neighbor lost their farm, we all grieved with him and we refused to bid on his tools at auction. Weren't these all signs of the kingdom of God, he says? Why couldn't I see them? Those were truly signs of the kingdom of God. Every act of kindness to a neighbor or a stranger, every effort, no matter how small, to improve our world, every act of kindness to the presence of God in our world is used by God as a building block for God's kingdom. The three simple truths that we need to take away when we leave today come from those two parables I read this morning. First is that God is at work in our world. Megan Feldmeyer, in an address to Duke University, brought up a song that came out several years ago by Bette Midler called From a Distance. It won a Grammy. It's a beautiful song if you've ever heard it. It talks about, from a distance, the world looks blue and green, and snow-capped mountains white. And from a distance there is harmony, no guns or bombs or disease. And God is watching us from a distance. Feldmeyer says the problem with that, the image of peace and harmony that you want to believe, that whole thing is entirely false. It's theological rubbish. The parable of the mustard seed tells us that God is not watching us from a distance. God is not some pie in the sky God who looks down and glosses over suffering and who doesn't deal in the reality of our lives. The God of the mustard seed is a God who comes to earth to be among us, who reduces himself to the scant, insignificant life of a poor carpenter, who enters into the dirt and mud, pain and suffering, and who gently but persistently cracks open new life. God is not watching us from a distance. God is here with us. He's walking with us and helping us every day, hidden, out of sight, hard to find sometimes when we're looking for him. But if you look hard enough, you can see God's work around us. You can see God's presence. Our inability to see God doesn't mean that he is not at work in our lives. The second thing we need to see is that the attitude of the believer should always be one of hopefulness. I mentioned earlier, we see so much bad press. The media concentrates on the bad things that happen because bad news sells. Good news doesn't. And it just causes all kinds of conflicts in our minds as a society about what's going on around us. In most large cities in the U.S. today, streets are safer to walk than they were a few decades ago. And that doesn't mean that there may not be a crisis from time to time. But it brings up the words from the song, "This is My Father's World." In that song, that hymn, it says, "This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet." God is at work in our world. The attitude of the believer, of us, me and you, our attitude toward hopefulness shows God's work in this world. The kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God will prevail. You can count on it. The final thing to be said is, let's make certain we are on the winning side. We certainly don't want to be standing in God's way when His kingdom comes. We want to be on the side of hope, peace, love, healing, and faith. Some of you might remember the Seattle Seahawks playing their games in a stadium called the King Dome. There's a noted Washington State pastor who brings that up, Dr. Joe Harding. He shares a conversation he once had. This is a battle between the Seattle Seahawks and the New Orleans Saints. It was late in the fourth quarter. It looked like the Seahawks were going to win. However, the Saints got one more chance. A few plays were successful. Anticipation was growing. The announcer said, "The Saints are marching down the field. The Saints are playing together. It now looks like the Saints are going to win in the kingdom." And we as Christians can change that to the kingdom. We are the Saints. We are the Christians that will win for the kingdom of God. You can count on it. That little seed planted in someone's heart or mind can grow. Some of you are retired teachers in here. Got a neat little story about teachers. There was a teacher one day who was teaching the new math. You remember 30, 40 years ago when we were young and they came up with this idea of the new math? Well, Helen, this teacher, was having an awful time trying to get her students to understand the concepts of new math. They were getting frustrated. They were getting edgy. And she was having trouble controlling the class. So one Friday afternoon, she decided she was going to depart from this new math discussion. She asked each student to list each person's name in the class on a sheet of paper and then write something nice about each one. It took the whole class period for them to do this. She gathered up the papers, and the next day, Saturday, Helen took those papers and compiled a list for each student of what others in the class liked about them. On Monday, she gave each student a paper with what other classmates had written about them. The atmosphere in the class changed instantly. Her students were smiling again. Helen overheard one student whisper, "I never knew that I meant anything to anyone." And no one ever said anything about those papers again. But years passed, students came and went. Then, for whatever reason, whether it was a class reunion or whatever, the class was suddenly brought back together again. And her former students gathered around her. One of them had something to show her. Opening his wallet, he carefully removed two worn pieces of notebook paper that had obviously been taped and refolded many times. Helen knew without looking that the papers were the ones which she had given them that listed all the good things other classmates said about them. She was amazed as another former student told her that she kept hers in the top drawer of her desk at home. Another had placed his list in his wedding album. Still another classmate took her wallet out, showed her worn and frazzled list to the group, and said she carried it everywhere she went. Helen was simply overwhelmed by this. She never imagined that little thing that she did that Friday afternoon years before would have such an impact on those students. But those students remembered that years later. And that's how planting seeds works. They may not remember it tomorrow. They may not think about it next week. But maybe sometime in the future that will come to mind and they will think, hey, maybe I should look into that. And the seed grows. There's a Nancy Lee DeMoss in writing The Law of the Harvest. She puts it this way. She says, for better or worse, most of the patterns in my life today are the fruit of choices I made years ago. The books I read, the people I spent time with, the way I responded to authority, the way I spent my free time, my study habits, and all those things affect me now. In the same way, the choices we make today will affect us down the road. Every sinful, selfish, or indulgent act is sowing a seed that will reap a multiplied harvest. But every act of obedience is also a seed that will bless us and those around us. God is at work in our world. This is my Father's world. Don't ever forget that. There's a marquee in front of one of the Baptist churches in Russellville that we drive by all the time. And it says, wouldn't it be great if we could forget our troubles as easily as we forget our blessings? Think about that. It's so easy for us to forget our blessings, but we never seem to forget our troubles. We are a blessed people. And as a blessed people, we should be planting seeds in the community. And as we plant seeds in the community, those seeds will grow by God's will, not because of anything that we're doing to nurture that. We plant seeds, and God does the work. And we just need to make sure that we are on the winning side because God will prevail. God's kingdom is coming one of these days. Amen.